Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello, and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. Jordana, it's a pleasure to be back here with you this holiday season. I hope people are sending you their trees for judgment.
I hope so, too. We're recording this before the episode where we ask people to has come out. But I'm sure if it was on Wednesday, I would say I've been getting dozens of trees just ready to judge them all. I can't wait to see Kylie's. She has, like, the big one.
Ooh, I mean, be careful when you make fun of a Jenner.
She has, like, a designer.
Oh, really?
I think she has, like, someone who comes into her house and, like, matches it with her interior decor, so.
Well, I made fun of one of her charcuterie boards, and the joke to me, and maybe I didn't do it right because there's been some division, is basically, like, the Kardashians always put things out there, and if they don't tag someone, we're kind of led to believe that they're, like, doing this in their free time, and you're right. Left to, like, feel like shit. So it's like she put a charcuterie board out, didn't tag anyone, and I'm like, okay, just let us know you didn't make this. Like, don't, like...
Right. It's like, yeah. Don't hide the nanny.
Don't hide the nanny.
Right.
That should be the name of a book. Don't hide the nanny. Like, everyone should live that way. Like, listen, it's okay to have privilege. It's okay to have money. Just don't lie like you don't have these things. I think I'm, like, almost honest to a fault with this stuff because I love talking shit about this type of thing. So I said, I was like, my board lord review of Kylie's thing was, listen, you didn't tag anyone. We all spent the day making our own Thanksgivings. Don't act like you have the, like, oh, I just put together a board.
Right.
And all these people were like, oh, you're jealous of her money. No, I'm just saying you're not like us. Like, you know, like,
and just own it so that we can all feel at ease.
Yeah. So we know, like, when you have a tree and you invite the tree designer over.
Yeah. She's not going to the fucking Christmas tree farm and cutting it down and then throwing it over her back and getting fucking, like, pine all over her clothes.
And we all know that intimately. Like, none of us expect her to go chop down a tree like fucking the Brawny Man, but we just want some admittance that you are living in a universe that we don't have access to.
Right. Yeah. That is refreshing.
I mean, it is refreshing. And it's like, I don't think a lot of these people online, I don't think influencers, I don't think, like, famous people understand that we don't want them to be just like us. We want them to admit that they have things that we have no access to, and then we get to watch and have fun watching their amazing lives. Like, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, you know, cribs exist because we do like looking at your shit, but we want you to know that we want you to also admit that, like, yeah, it's a little bit easier for me to do.
Yeah, I agree. Jared, I think you should watch The Crown. It's all about that kind of stuff.
I've been watching a little, The Crown is...
British royal family,
and they kind of talk about that stuff.
I mean, it's all about, like, how the crown is supposed to appear. I mean, there's no, like, social media yet in, like, the seasons that they're up to, but it's just about, like, how, like, you're supposed to let the public into your world, like, enough that they can, like, aspire to it, but not, like, say so much that, like, they do try to pretend like you're... There's a whole thing about that where they try to make, like, a documentary about themselves and they wind up just looking like assholes.
Yeah.
This is, like, in the 70s. It was, like, totally backfired on them, but it's, like, funny because it was that kind of thing where it's like no one wants them to be just like you and me. Like, they want them to be, like, better and, like, you want to learn that no less in some ways because it makes you more into them.
Well, that's the truth of, like, celebrity. It's like there's a reason we all kind of like certain celebrities and hate certain celebrities. Like, there's a reason, like, Kardashian, I enjoy that show. I think that they do some good in the world, but, like, a lot of times it's a little too much where you're like, okay, don't try and tell me, like, You could tell when you watch the Kardashians, there is a attempt at the storyline being based in, we're just a family. We're right. just a family, just like you. And it's like, no, that's kind of why people over the summer got so mad, where it's like all these people posting like, we're in this together from a beach house that their parents put them up in. And you're like, and that's like the easy, you know, picture for me to draw. But like, there's versions of that in every friend group where everyone's like, you have that one friend that's like sitting online being like, stay the fuck home while right. at, you know, they're while not having to go to a job, you know,
right. So while like, in a huge house or like, yeah. I think Whitney Cummings, I think tweeted something really funny about that. She's like, everyone in Hollywood wants people to stay home unless they're like, working at the grocery store or nannies. Or like, you know, the people
or their horse trainer
or like, right. Or the horse trainer, but like everyone else should stay the fuck home.
Yeah. It's an interesting predicament because it is a thin line. Like, listen, I have people that are, I'm getting sponsored posts right now for the holiday season. And like, I sit there for, you know, part of like, what am I going to do this? I have to be like, okay, it has to be funnier than someone could think like, oh, well, he's just doing this for money, which again, there's an element of that too. Like, like I can't lie to you.
Right. I agree.
You know, so what are we, I mean, anything else going on in your life? Is there anything to talk about? Anything worthwhile?
You know, just trying to unravel the mysteries of Christmas as I approach my third year celebrating Christmas, which I had never done before.
Do you have a stocking up?
I said no to stockings. I have a tree. I have a classy Christmas view in mind. It doesn't involve stockings. I'm like, actually, I've hijacked this holiday from him and I've decided to do it my way. I'm like probably the worst person that you've like appropriated all of the parts that I like. And I'm like, yeah. Some aspects I think are like absurd. He's like, because he got me like a gift and he like, I can't open it until Christmas. I'm like, what the fuck? How old are we?
Well,
like,
that's the fun of Christmas, was people would say. That's right. Like
so
the running down the stairs in your jams. Like he's trying to give you the full present experience. I understand what he's saying.
Right.
And it is impractical. Like I want to use the fucking thing now, but I get it.
Right. I'm like, how about like one big gift instead of 15 small gifts? Like, how about, he's like, you don't understand how Christmas works. I'm like, I'm just kind of, it's funny. I can do it because like, Christians are a pretty powerful group and they're sure. like, you know, they're not like, but like, if he was like, well, what's up? Why do we need 8 nights of Hanukkah? That seems excessive. Like I'd be like, you know what I mean? It might be like a little construed as like a little anti-Semitic or something, but because he's part of the larger class of like, it's, you know, most, there's a lot more of them than us. I can critique Christmas as I feel.
Well, as we spoke about last week, you are coming in here with a better eye than him. He's too close to it. When you say, what about one big gift with like 3 smaller gifts? When you start giving critiques, it's only from a place of making this better because you're not as emotionally attached to the things that happened when he was 8 years old. When he was 8, you know, moving Santa. From one gift to the next, Santa is like a big part of it. At 30, you're like, no, I just need a car. You know, like I just need rent paid for the month, you know?
Yeah, like I can buy my own sleep mask instead of waiting. I have to wait until the end of the month to like open
there's
it
a lot of
in front of your parents with a shocked face. And it's just like...
Well, a lot of these are... He's trying to reimagine his 8-year-old best Christmas. And that's probably the worst type of person to be leading the charge. I remember my friends and I went... I might have told this story. I've told this a bunch, but my friends and I, we all did this like trip to like the Jersey Shore. And the one guy that was kind of in charge of the trip had been going to the Jersey Shore his whole life. And I remember there was one day where he's like, we got to go to the boardwalk. We got to do the boardwalk. We got to do the. And I remember being like, I don't want to fucking do the boardwalk. I want to go to the beach. I'm here for one weekend. I want to like. Go sit.
Right.
Like, we only have so many hours of sunlight here. I don't want like an hour spent in an Uber getting to the boardwalk. Like, fuck that. To walk on a boardwalk where I don't even want to fucking eat the, you know, the pier fries. I don't want all that shit.
This isn't a date.
So I started spreading around the word. I was like, hey, is anyone not looking to go to the boardwalk? And everyone was like, oh, thank God you said something.
Someone
and
said
I was like, yeah. So I was like, and I started like, I've been getting really into Survivor lately. You know, Jess and I are watching seasons of Survivor,
which I would encourage.
Great show. Loving every second.
Yeah.
So and this happens on Survivor a lot. You'll just like say a little whisper. You're like, hey, why don't we not go to the boardwalk? And then everyone's like, hey, I never thought of it that way. We're allowed to say no boardwalk. And I remember it got to a point where like I had enough of a alliance form of non-boardwalk people. And he was like, and we were like, hey, we don't want to go, but you guys have fun. And he was like ruined by that. He was like so upset by this because it was like, wait a minute, we have to go to the boardwalk. And we were like, no, but we're adults.
Who... That's very brave of you, especially, you know, without an immunity idol.
That's right. So,
you know,
we ended up not going, but there was like a small band of people that went with him. And a lot of them went because they felt bad. But I'm like, no, listen, sometimes you have to ruin, you know, the childhood dream and, you know, go into the reality of being adults. Sometimes things need to change.
That's what you and I are here for, just to ruin everyone's childhood dreams and everything they once held sacred. Should we get into the show?
And most of all, we're here to talk about dating and relationships. And right now, more than ever, this is the podcast for you. Keep spreading the word. Keep telling friends. Also, I'm going to be in Indianapolis for New Year's Eve. If anyone wants to do a socially distanced comedy show in Indianapolis, fun time. I'll be there Thursday through Saturday. JaredFree.com, JaredFree.com. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Jordana, what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about the best way to handle dating after a body transformation. I thought this one was interesting.
This is an interesting topic. This is a very much a... This could be a fun overlap. This is like a
DST, diet starts tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a diet starts tomorrow like subject, kind of entering into our world. I've been a guest on Diet Starts Tomorrow many times. I love going on that show. If so, this subject speaks to me in a way that is very personal as far as like health and trying to lose weight and trying to be healthy while dating. If you're not familiar with my background in this subject, I would encourage you to listen to me rant on Diet Starts Tomorrow.
Those are great episodes. They're very funny. I love the one of you chasing the woman in the park.
It was the Williamsburg Bridge, but I...
Sorry, the bridge. That makes it less terrifying.
Yeah, so that is all... So if you want to hear my background with this subject, you can go... So I don't want people to think that I'm like... speaking out of turn with something I don't have a connection to, because we are going to enter into the territory of commenting on body issues, and I have many of those.
Yeah. I've heard those episodes are great. You guys should check out Diet Starts Tomorrow, and especially the episodes that Jared's on, because they're both very funny and very enlightening. But I'll read this email.
Yeah, let's get into the email right away.
I'll read the email.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic, especially with right now that can go... Okay, let's go into it.
All right. Hi, J&J. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about dating after major weight loss. After ending a long-term relationship, I decided to lose weight and get in shape. In the last year and a half, I've lost 130 pounds. Wow.
Almost
half my body weight. That's amazing. And I've gone from a size 20 to a size 2. I've definitely noticed a huge difference in the number and quality of matches I get on dating apps, but I've been struggling to figure out when I should bring up the weight loss with my dates. I have to make a conscious effort to make healthy food and drink choices, so I usually try to suggest lower calorie date options without bringing up the topic. But if the date is going well and there's a chance we'll end up hooking up at the end of the night, I usually try to work it into the conversation. Since I'm self-conscious about my stretch marks and a bit of loose skin from the weight loss, and I don't want them to be turned off by it. Any thoughts on the best way to handle the situation? Thanks.
So let me just say to this person, you are not alone. This is so hard. This is so difficult. I deal with this type of stuff. I've gained and lost hundreds of pounds over the course of my life. I've gone up and down, up and down. I'm currently working with a trainer and a nutritionist at the same time. I have a team now. I'm like, I am a Kardashian. I'm trying to get... I think with weight loss and with health and feeling good about yourself, it's finding the thing that works for you. It's
right.
And I kind of compare it to golf. I know we're about to lose every one of our audience members, but like when I play golf and I hit off the tee, are we still with me, Jordana, or have you fallen asleep?
I know what a tee is. Just don't get into the par shit. I don't understand that at all.
Okay, so when I hit off the tee, I hook it right. So a lot of times, I try to hit left to go straight. Do you know what I mean? Right.
I remember this DST analogy, yes. Okay.
So when I try to hit left to go straight, that means scheduling meals. That means not eating carbs in the morning because I like to have them at night.
What's going straight?
Going straight is fitting well in a t-shirt. Hooking right is not having any plan, and that's when I go into the woods when I don't prepare. But health is done differently for every single person. So like, I understand what she's saying when she's like, I want to get ahead of my dates because I don't want to go so off track, because I know one date, and I felt this way before where I'd be like, I don't want to go on a date tonight because it's Monday night, and I don't want to drink on a Monday because then that means I'll eat badly on a Tuesday if I'm hungover, and that means my whole week is ruined, and then I have no momentum.
You're trying to keep momentum, yeah.
And now it's Saturday, and I eat like shit on Saturdays normally, and now it's been a whole week that's off because I went on one date on Monday night. I have held myself back from life because of eating and trying to feel good about how I'm eating and how I'm being healthy. So what I'm saying to her, this is all to say she is not weird or wrong. I think everyone does a version of this.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's like almost universal, no matter what your size or your thoughts. If you're trying to stay healthy, just generally, I think at least for the first part, that's something you know, I've thought as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be a certain size to avert your dating thing to feel good about yourself. That has no size on it. So
right.
I think that's important to hear, because I think she's like kind of, she shouldn't think what she's doing is weird. You know, like I want to make sure she knows that, because she says, I still make a conscious effort to have healthy food and drink choices, so I usually suggest lower calorie dates. Like even apologizing for it a little bit is saying like, oh, well, so just know what you're doing is something guys do too.
Right. Yeah. I don't think she's alone in that part. I think the part that gets a little trickier is when she's like, you've maybe lost and gained over the years, but have you ever lost this much drastically where you're like, it's almost like was a big part of your life or like, I think that's what she's.
After freshman year of college, I lost like 50 pounds that summer, and I came back to school and like, totally different looking person to people that I knew.
Right.
So I came back to college sophomore year, and it's like, I was like, you know, these are things in your own mind that you put in other people's mind. But I right. would think of myself as like, oh, I was like the one funny fat guy in the pledge class. And then you come back and it's like, you're not really that guy anymore. So I do understand.
Right.
And what happened.
I wonder if it would be easier or harder to do so in college when everyone in that community already kind of knew you, whereas like in the real world, you're kind of you're dealing with people who like this is their first, first iteration of you is this new slimmer person.
Yeah, I don't think any of this is easy. Like I think it's just different problems at different points in life. I'll say that the hard part about college is like now it's like. You like in my mind, I didn't want to be the guy that lost weight and then gained it all back. You know, like I didn't want right. to be that guy. That's like a fear of like what would people say about you. It's like this fear that like you don't have any control of your life or that you're weak or something like that, because you know again, it's like
that you might at any point go back to what you were.
Totally. Or something. I think in college that kept me like. Way healthier than I did when I got out of college. Cause when you get out of college, there's just less eyes on you. You're doing your own thing.
Right.
It's not as much like, you know, the friends don't kind of hang out as much, so you can go off it. That's probably a factor in me gaining weight after college, but also you just life comes at you and you do more life stuff. But also the other thing that you deal with and where I see eye to eye with her is that like, just because you have a new body doesn't mean you have a new brain.
Okay.
And I think that's like the hardest part about losing weight. When I see someone that says I've lost 130 pounds, almost half my body weight, as someone who's dealt with weight stuff his whole life, I'm like, man, that is a mind fuck. And I would encourage this person, like, I kind of wish I've never done this, but I'm sure anyone who's listening to me on Diet Starts Tomorrow is like, that guy should see somebody. But I think you got to speak to a professional, because even the way she writes it, there's a very specific sentence in her message where she says, I've definitely noticed a huge difference in the number of quality matches I get on dating apps. Like the idea that she's connecting. Because I've lost weight, now I get a better quality of person in my match. And I know she doesn't mean it that way, but that is kind of what you're saying.
Right. And I think that also lends itself to her saying, I'm now a more quality person than I was before. The matches I'm getting are more quality, then I am higher quality. So it all kind of feeds into the self-worth.
Totally. And both situation. Of those aren't true. You know, like you're as good as you were before. You just feel better about yourself, which is great.
Right.
And the people, to me, you might be getting in touch with worse quality matches. If these people are only speaking to you or keeping up with you because of sexual attraction, then maybe that's just all they want.
It's a whole new set of problems.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think like the important thing that I'm trying to impart is like, weight loss only solves a couple issues for you. You know, maybe, you know, it's
right.
if, and again, I deal with this every day. It's stuff I talk about when I do stand up all the time. I had a woman stand up at a show and be like, you're not fat. Like, I've had like really weird instances, and I try to talk about it on stage to be fun and make fun of it and kind of commiserate with people. But like, I remember, so I think there has to be, for her, she has to come to terms with, this is a tough thing on your mentality. Like, you have to figure out your mentality to go with.
Do you think
it.
She should tell these dates, like, about the fact that she's recently lost 100 pounds?
Yeah. I think, like date one? Hey, I've lost. I don't know, date one. I think this is kind of your baby. I think you should do it once you're comfortable with the match. I just think you have to admit. So go ahead.
I was saying, when I first read this, I kind of thought about it before what you just said, which I think is a great point. I kind of thought about it like, this is almost like the person who wrote in not too long ago saying they're sober. And, you know, I want to go to they probably should go. We were suggested them going to places where drinking wasn't the first or only thing to do.
I think you're totally right. Absolutely.
But like, yeah, I think that maybe this has like a little bit of an additional layer on top of it, just given like, because I think like sober or not sober, I don't know if you're like, you would think of like the quality of the matches or the, but I do think that probably if you're getting sober, you think of your brain kind of loops yourself into thinking that in that kind of way.
Absolutely.
As well.
Like, because you're treating yourself better for you now, mm-hmm. the people will treat you better. This email is fraught with like different places for people to feel offended. So I want to make sure that we're ahead of this and say, like, I'm speaking about this from personal when Jordana, like when you say like, I do believe when you're eating healthy, it's a form of sobriety. Like, I do feel being better in touch with the things you're putting in your body makes you feel better. And you go through it in a similar way. Like when I'll plug her real quick. I've been working with this woman, Alex Turoff.
Yeah.
And she's been great. She's been on, I found her through Diet Starts Tomorrow, and she's on Instagram. I want to make sure, at @AlexTuroff_RD. If you go follow her, she's great. She gives out all these great tips and stuff. But the big thing with her for me has been like, she's listening to the things that I need. Just like you're saying, like, I'd be like, hey, I like volume eating. I like to eat a lot of food. Okay. So here's a way you can eat a lot of food to feel better.
Right.
You know,
she's
so
not
it's
like, well, that's, and then you're not going to lose weight. She's not like, yeah, well, then you're fucked. Okay.
It's a different, different. There's a shoe for every foot. There's a butt for every seat. You know, everyone's someone's foot. That's the same goes for a eating and weight loss plan. But this is all to say, like, this is a form of letting someone into a very personal part of your life. So like, when would I say to someone, I deal with a lot of fucking shit? I don't come out on date one and say that. That wouldn't be comfortable for me. I wouldn't want to say that to someone I don't trust yet.
Right. I think in the same way, and again, and I think that part is relatable to anything about your past that you feel perhaps slightly sensitive about or feels a vulnerability of yours. I think it's okay to wait until you feel a certain level of trust to tell that person. The right person for you is going to be much more interested in your approach and how you feel about that decision or what happened or what you're going through or what you accomplished. And like, I think they're going to think that has more to say about you than the actual thing that has happened.
Totally. And I also, as far as the attraction part of it is like, if a guy's, here's the one thing women don't like to think, like women want, like a lot of times women write in and assume that the way they think is the exact same way a guy thinks. If a guy's on a date with you, he's there because he's attracted to you. So let's start at that. No guy goes on a date. His penis wouldn't let him. His penis. I'm just saying.
Even if he wanted to.
Even if he was like, she's the nicest person in the world. I'll give her one shot. Maybe when we're on the date, I'll get more attracted to her. No. That doesn't happen. The penis says to you, shut the fuck up. You're staying home. So if you're on the date with the guy, like, but women do that.
You should do a cartoon called My Very Judgmental Penis.
Yeah. The Dictator.
And it's all about, yeah, there you go.
So
that's great.
But I'm saying Because I've learned through this podcast that women will go on dates with guys that they're not as attracted to and go, well, maybe on the date I'll get more attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Yeah, I've done that.
So I have never done that. I've never gone on a date where like, well, maybe once I get to know them, I'll be more ready to
fight. He's so nice. Right.
Yeah. That's the thing. Guys just don't work that way. So I think that should be a breath of fresh air to a lot of women who listen to this. Like, if he's on the date with you, he's attracted to you. So, right. And you said she mentions loose skin and stretch marks. I have stretch marks. You can't see them at night. You can't see, you know, like I'm not trying to, like, but also, like, I have stretch marks and stuff like that. Like, I that has never chased a woman away. And I've seen women with stretch marks, and I've never been chased away by that. Like, there's never been a moment where I'm like, oh, the, you know, like, that's, I think, there's so much, and guys do this to themselves where they're like, we talk so much about sex. We talk so much about butts and are you ass man? Are you tit man? You know what I mean? So I think like our reputation precedes ourselves.
Right. But we assume you're just constantly judging every body part of ours. Right.
Yeah. When it's really a less judgmental judge, it is like, I see woman, I am attracted. The idea that like once we get into bed and clothes come off, we go, that doesn't happen.
Right. I think that almost happens more for like the women that they know they'll never be able to sleep with. Like I remember once we were watching the Victoria's Secret fashion show in college, these guys, and then after they were like, you know, she's got like kind of a gap tooth. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like yeah. that's why you wouldn't, right?
I could never.
Right.
But I mean, I have it with Jess. Like, Jess has more things. Like I had hair on my back. And she's like, ugh, the hair, you got to get rid of it. It's, like, kind of grossing me out. And it's like, I would never, I don't think that, something that small, like, I think guys are just so simple and caveman-ish that, like, it's almost, like, to the benefit. It's like, ooh, you look good, like butt. You know, it's not like, oh, did you not shave your legs for a week? Like, you don't hear that from guys.
Right. And again, if you're either on the date, they've already decided, like, it's a go.
It's a go. They want to be there. So I don't know if that helps. I hope that helps to hear in the same way that, like, when I tell people you're someone's foot and there's guys out there masturbating to feet, like, a lot of people write to me. They're like, man, that made me feel everyone's someone's foot. And I'm like, yeah, I was... You know, it's a funny way to say it.
They felt complimented by that?
Yeah.
Like,
but
I could be a foot.
Wait, men masturbate to feet? Yep. And you could be that foot. You know, so and there's everyone has a taste. And if they're there with you, they're happy to be there with you attraction-wise. So, again, like, I don't know. I think, like, letting someone know whenever you're comfortable, no owning that they're there because they're attracted to you and... again, if something makes you feel anxious, let them know. Like, hey, if you're going to get that far, hey, I've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
You let them know, and then they go, okay, good for you. I'm sure you're going to know how they are based on how they react to that.
If you're being vulnerable and then they don't react to that like well or compassionately, then I think it's better that you tell them that before you sleep with them.
Absolutely.
Like, then you'll know sooner. Yeah,
and also you're going to connect with people. You might find out that the guy you're with was like, I lost a lot of weight and I deal with this stuff. I didn't want to go on the date because I drank on Saturday. I think like when you reveal those things, you either grow apart or grow together. Like it's one or the other.
Right.
It's never.
And when you go together, it's a much stronger connection than like we're both just people trying to pretend that we're both perfect and have nothing to hide and no vulnerabilities. Like, yeah, I think like, that sometimes we go into dates and dating trying to do that, trying to seem as like put our best foot forward, seem as like perfect and put together as we can. But that only lasts for so long. And eventually that comes out. And I think that you waste more time that way when you try to hide these flaws, quote unquote, that are like actually just a part of who you are.
And the more you like come in touch with them, the more you don't act out on it. Like I remember when I lost a bunch of weight the first time, I was trying to like hook up with this girl and I remember she like said no or it wasn't happening. You know, it wasn't like a say no. It was like, hey, you want to come back? Like, I was really young and I'm talking to her in like a social situation and I could feel that I wasn't getting back what I was putting out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, well, gotta go. And I was mad that I wasn't getting the response I was getting. And I remember taking off my shirt after losing a bunch of weight, be like, guess you won't have this. And it's like the most embarrassing. I'm like trembling.
But no one was in the room, or she was in the room?
She was in the room.
Oh, okay.
It's so embarrassing. And it's like, again, it's like that only happens. You only act out like that because you're insecure. You connect all of your self-worth to this number on a scale. And right. I think, like, now I laugh about it. Now I'm so embarrassed.
Well, thank
right now
you for your vulnerability. I think that the way you explain that is very, I think it's helpful for people also, just because we all have our embarrassing past moments when we didn't know how to like own our own vulnerabilities when we've done stuff like that.
I'll never forget it. Like, and I think like I'm embarrassed to even like come across this person on social media now. But I think about that moment a lot, because I think about it when she writes, I've lost 130 pounds. I'm like, get your mind right, because it's the same brain in a new body. And that's hard to come to terms with. It's hard to, you know, I remember people being like, I came back to my fraternity, people were like, oh, you lost all this weight, I guess you're not funny anymore. So then you're like dealing with it on the other side. You're like, maybe I should gain it back so I could be funny again. It's right. Like, it's a weird, it is such a mind weight, and connecting it to your self-worth and your personality and all that stuff is, I mean, it's the reason I do stand-up comedy. I can tell you that right now.
I could see why also, like, it would just be like anxiety producing just to eat in front of someone. Like, are they thinking that I'm eating too much? Are they thinking I'm eating too little? Are they judging me based on, you know,
when I'm ordering? Really, when I was really healthy, people used to say to me like, oh, you're making, look at Jared eating healthy. Whoa. Like, people don't let you. It's almost right. Like you're saying something about them, because you're like, I want a grilled chicken with vegetables. I'm just trying to stay right. And then you feel like you can't eat badly in front of people, because people are like, whoa, Jared, off the plan. And it's like, you're never right. You're always fucked.
Yeah. I mean, not to compare it again to alcoholism, but I feel like that's what I've heard a lot in that community, where it's like, if you're you get a lot of comments almost like, you know, it's hard to be around people who aren't doing the same thing, because everyone has a thought about what you're doing or what you're not doing, if you're drinking, if you're not.
It's totally comparable. I mean, I once heard a comedian, he did a joke. I wish I could tell you who it was, but because I can't remember. But he was like, it's the only addiction where you have to do it every day. And it's like,
right.
With food, you know, like,
yeah.
Like you go off of heroin or you go off of alcohol, at least you don't do alcohol. They're not like, yeah, but just have a little alcohol, you know, like that, or just have the alcohol that doesn't taste as good, you know, like, and it's so, again, there's similarities.
Other people are probably like, just have a couple drinks, when it doesn't like work for, you know what I mean? Like, have a couple cookies.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Just eat half the fries. I would murder someone if they told me to eat half the fries. Like, I was like, the idea that you're throwing away fries, like, just doesn't connect with me. And that's my own thing. And that's my own thing to deal with. And I just, you know, again, I feel for this person. I read that email and I was like, oh, I know it. That's my life.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves, and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. And I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending them in. We're getting good ones now, right, Jordana?
We are. These are way better than the ones we were getting a few months ago. No offense to those people, but these are, I'm enjoying reading the ones that are coming in.
Okay, keep sending them in. You ready?
Yes.
Hi, J&J. Thank you for continuing to solve dating on a weekly basis. My girlfriend and I have been dating for a little over a year, but have only recently said I love you. A few months ago, we went to dinner for our one-year anniversary to a nice restaurant she had been wanting to go to. I had already planned to tell her that evening those three magical words. But when during dinner do I say it? Before the entree? Before dessert? When? We started talking about the future, and naturally it came out of my mouth that I loved her. Yay! Woo!
So beautiful.
What if we released a dove? What if a dove came out of people's phones while they were listening to this?
Oh, that would be in the future. I think that podcasts will have that capability.
We can only hope.
Hologram.
She said it back and then we kissed. Wow. Mutual I love yous. There we go. Now that we both knew we loved each other, and after a sufficient amount of alcohol, we were ready to go home to christen the love.
Aw.
I just would love it if he smashed a champagne bottle off her pussy, just like, ah, like they do a new boat.
This is for real.
She slips into something, to some sexy lingerie as a surprise, and man, what a nice present. She looked incredible. We get into the throes of passion and quickly get into my favorite position. 69.
That's, yeah, those are 69 is people's favorite position still. I feel like 69 like should have been retired like 20 years ago.
Well, 69 is all it can only be a guy's favorite position.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I think more men love 69 than women because we're on the bottom of that situation.
Okay.
It's the most like I like that he's like, I want to get into my favorite position, 69. Nothing sexier than efficiency. Like,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, why can't we just do them separately?
Why the rush?
It's like 2-in-1 shampoo. Like, it doesn't work as well as like first, like a real shampoo and then a real conditioner.
Well, I used to think that 69 was invented by a couple that didn't trust each other. So it's like, they're like, you go down on me first. No, you. Okay, same time.
Right. Like, we'll make sure no one's getting out of this.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I guess women don't trust that angle. Like, I guess the angle you're at is, you would think isn't attractive to us, but guys love it. I love that I have full access to all the undercarriage.
I just think it's hard to like get into it when you're also working. It's like, there's, you know what I mean? Like I want to, like, if I'm receiving, I'd want to just like relax and receive, not like,
sure,
multitasking for me at least.
Yeah. I guess that's
stuff going on.
That makes sense for like, as far as like being in the moment, like that's not as big a guy thing. We're just like, yeah, you're sucking. Things are good. You know?
Right, it's more mechanical.
So as we were performing our acts of kindness, she rolls off of me to have sex. Boy, that sounds sexy. Get off, Bessie. Time to fuck. Oh, but as she makes an effort to get off my face, I hear a noise. I think to myself, was that a queef?
At least he knows what a queef. You can tell this guy by how into saying I love you he is, that he knows a woman's body. He knows the queef. He knows the difference.
That could be a love song. I think to myself, was that a queef?
Queef.
And in that split second, two more loud noises erupt. She had farted three times right in my face. I started crying laughing while she's half laughing, half mortified. But in the end, everything was fine. And shortly after the farts heard round the world, we resumed action.
Oh, my God.
In the fart smell.
And basking in, instead of a candle.
Yeah. We always will remember that night for two reasons. One, we said I love you for the first time. Two, her farting in my face after we said I love you for the first time. We both get a laugh every time we bring up that night, and I thought you would all enjoy it too. Looking forward to hearing you all come up with a name for this one. Thanks, boyfriend of the fart queen. Man, that is hilarious.
I love this one.
It's hilarious. He goes, yeah, we both get a laugh out of every time we bring up that night. I'm sure she's like, ah, real funny.
I love this one because I love the idea that it's like she finally got him to say I love you. She knows he's in, and now she's like, I can finally be myself. Triple fart.
Just like,
you want to know the real me? You love me? You want to know the real me?
It would be funny if they, on the date, I love you. Oh, finally. 3-minute fart. Just, like, are you done yet?
I've been holding this in since we met, and now I feel secure enough in where this relationship is going.
I mean, too. I've farted too much, I think, in quarantine. I think Jess is physically unattracted to me. She did have one night where she goes, Jared, it's enough. I can't anymore. And I had to like pull back a little.
I think that's fair.
Are you guys farting?
Not excessively. Yeah. In the normal amount.
Just said I haven't held back at all.
It hasn't worked at all. Her.
No, this her is holding back.
Her clear communication isn't helping.
She said, don't say, are you guys farting? Because I ain't farting.
Yeah, listeners.
That's right.
It's just Jared.
I'm making up for all the... How do you do it? Are you going in the bathroom? Are you
I'm trying to do it silently if it's happening. We're a little more discreet about it. I do get it irritated, though, with like sometimes he'll just be on like a bad joke making like roll.
Yeah.
Where he'll just keep saying like terrible jokes and he thinks it's funny. And I'm like, all right, it's like enough. Like,
yeah.
I get like you're annoying me.
I mean, nothing more fun to me than a joke that isn't funny and then you get it to be funny again. You got to fight through the bad part of that joke.
Right. Hopefully you can fight through the irritation to make it funny once again.
That's right.
But it's risky. It's risky.
It's risky. So what would you call this one?
I'd call this blown away.
Blown away. I like that. stop, fart, and roll. Love is in the air. I fart you.
I fart you. That's great.
Yeah.
It's got to be the one.
Has this ever happened? Have you ever rolled off and farted mid roll off?
Not that I can recall. Have you had this one?
Well, the other night I was laughing and I.
Or has it happened with her? Has she done it?
She's yet to fart. I keep trying to make it happen. What's that?
Are you squeezing? What are you
She's
squeezing
She's holding
her?
A strong. Yeah, I just keep.
You've been like, you've been like only buying beans for dinner, you know, like giving her an all fart diet.
Yeah. Who wants pinto beans? We just had cannellini or the other, you know, we just had couscous. Cannellini.
I have broccoli. What else is there?
I was laughing the other night and I mid laugh, the laugh forced out a fart. And I've been referring to it as a lart. And legitimately, like, I started laughing like at something on TV and I went, ah, and it was like I had no control over my body.
Wow.
Yeah. We're having a lot of fun here in quarantine.
You sound quite like quite a bit of fun, yeah.
And then we 69.
Do you do this on your long flights? I know you fly a lot.
Oh, I am.
Should people be worried?
If you're on a flight with me, I'm the one farting.
If you don't know.
Yeah.
If you can't pinpoint where it's coming from.
You'll know now. Wow, is that Jared Fried on my fart? Or is that Jared Fried? Is that Jared Fried on my flight? And then you'll go... And if you don't say anything to me, just go, it'll get to the point where people, if you see me on your flight, you should be upset because that whole tube is about to smell.
Good thing we're wearing masks on flights now.
That's true. Let's do another email. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. You ready?
I'm ready. All right. Hey, J&J, let me get right to it. Backstory. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a little over 2 years. About 6 months into our relationship, we went to Mexico. On our trip, we decided to move in together. It made sense financially, and 2 weeks after we got back, he moved in with me. Fast forward to COVID times. After being in quarantine and living through the pandemic and living together a year, my boyfriend sat me down and shared that he was feeling really anxious living in such a small place and wanted to live separately. A week later, he moved out. It was kind of traumatizing. Although we stayed together, I felt like he left me in what seemed to be the most challenging times in our lives. He assured me that in no way was the move about me and that he wanted to stay together. Instead, he felt like the close space was getting to him. Aside from our living situation, our relationship stayed pretty much the same. In fact, it got better, which I hate to admit. Now to the real reason why I'm writing. My boyfriend and I are 28 and 26, respectively.
Hold on. That wasn't the real reason she was writing in?
I know. That seems like a pretty big one to me.
It seems like the only reason. No?
Right. My boyfriend left me, yeah. But we're still together.
But says you want to stay together. The walls are closing in, but that's not our problem.
I'm glad she included that because I do think it'll help answer
for sure.
The second part of this question. The real reason why I'm writing in, my boyfriend and I are 28 and 26 respectively. I am not the girl who wants to get married tomorrow, but it's something I would like to do long term, like in the next 3 to 4 years. I know he feels pressure from our families to take the next steps in our relationship. A couple of weeks ago, he sat me down to tell me, one, he does not want to have kids. And two, he is not looking to get married anytime soon. He said marriage is an option, just not something he's thinking about right now. He insists he wants to be with me and loves me, but I'm starting to second guess his commitment. Shocking. Wise. That
oh,
is
really?
A wise. From moving out to saying he doesn't want kids and marriage. And marriage isn't in the near future. Am I crazy to stick around? I love him very much, but it seems like he is trying to prolong the inevitable breakup. Aside from these major conversations, I've never questioned his commitment or fidelity. Am I crazy to stick around? Sincerely, the eternal girlfriend.
So, interesting question. I think this happens a lot. I have some thoughts.
I have some thoughts too.
I think what doesn't get I've talked about this many times, is that breakups are very hard for both parties. And everyone thinks of the person that got dumped, but nobody thinks of the dumper. And that's just, and I, because it's a position of power and
Jerry doesn't like dumper shaming.
I don't like dumper shaming at all, but that's the reason this is happening. This guy is choosing an immature way to get out of his relationship through mature topics. So
right.
What he's doing is he's putting up, you know, kids and marriage as his reasons for saying that this isn't the match, which is the real thing.
Right. I feel like he's asking her to break up with him by doing all these things. He's trying to see, like, I think he's trying to say like pretty large, important things that would make most people would be deal breakers for a lot of people. And but he's not trying to be, like you said, he's trying to be the bad guy. But he's not saying like, listen, I'm not saying I want to break up, but I'm moving out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want to break up, but I don't want to have kids ever, just so you know. And I'm not saying I want to break up, but if you're thinking about getting married, I'm not interested in that either. Like, he's almost like going to see how many things
this is a breakup.
He can say.
Yeah, but this is a breakup strategy. Some people treat breakups like a pint of ice cream that they just took out of the freezer. They're going to take it out of the freezer. They're going to let it thaw, and then they're going to dig in and finish it. So
no, I saw that.
This is on your story. I've wrote this on my stories last night, yeah. And that's what's happening right here. This guy is warming you up to the idea of this ending. He doesn't want it coming out of left field. So he's saying, I got to move out. And then, but we'll stay together. You know, just like you said, like, no kids.
Right.
So he's making it so he is not a partner that you would want to be with. And it's like, you're either going to end it or he is. It's one or the other.
Right. I feel like I've done this with plans that I didn't want to go to.
Yeah,
we're all like, you lay the foundation of like, hey, like, I'm gonna be 45 minutes late. Do you still want me to come?
Yes.
You're
conditioning
like, I'm also
people
gonna
to
have
the disappointment.
To Right. I'm also going to have to leave 30 minutes early. So I might just be there for like five. Do you think it's still, if it's still worth it for you, like I will definitely be there, but yeah. I'll be late. I'll be wearing the wrong thing. And I'm going to leave early.
It's the same exact thing. It's like, hey, it's also like getting ahead of the disappointment. Hey, this week, I think I'm good to go, but there's a chance I might have to be leaving early. That means you're leaving early.
Right.
Yeah. That's you preparing them so that, you know, the worst is at a party, you go, hey, I got to go. And they go, you've been here 20 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. I just got to go. That's harder than, well, why didn't you tell me? Okay. You know right. what I mean? Like that, people more or less are averting conflict rather than digging into conflict. And this is his way of averting conflict.
And it's harder, but it's so much worse. It just makes the whole process like so much more painful and so much longer. Cause now she's like, okay, what am I supposed to, I guess I have to break up with this guy that I don't want to break up with that I actually want to be with. And then it's going to be like my fault when if he really just told her like what he was actually feeling, which is that he didn't want to be in this relationship anymore. She could feel better knowing.
Well,
that she
this
wasn't
is a
the...
train hitting you in slow motion. This goes back to, you know, fuck up my month, don't fuck up my year. Like he is they had to do a move out. Then he had to talk about kids and he had to make her question whether, you know, it is interesting the way she writes this email and people do this sometimes. And we see this a lot where she says, my boyfriend, I am not the girl who wants to get married tomorrow, but it's something I would like to do long term. She says that like that is the exception to the rule. No, most people want to meet someone and figure out if it's the right match and then get married. That is right. A normal center of the bell curve thing to want. She's now apologizing for wanting that because this guy's coming through with all these like, well, I don't even want kids and I'm not even sure about marriage. And it's like, you don't, no. He's the one coming at you with alternative lifestyles.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like I feel like most guys are not proactively telling you these things, like sitting you down to tell you these things. It's one thing to say like you if you're like, "Oh, like wouldn't it be great to get married in a year?" and he's like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm ready about that." If he is coming to you before you're even like to me he's trying to tell you something. If he's coming to you proactively to tell you this is different than like you broaching if you were like, "I want to get married next year," and then you're kind of like, "Oh, I guess I could wait." And then I think like, the annoying part of this for her, I get where she's like, she's worried I'm going to break up with this guy and then I'm going to be the one who has imposed this on myself. And then I'm going to worry when I'm lonely a month or a few weeks later, I'm going to worry like, oh, could I have dealt with him not wanting to get married or could I have dealt with him?
That's just the fucked up part.
Right. That's why it's like so selfish of him to do that, because he's really trying to make it her think that it's her choice when really it's his choice. And then like I could see this devolving into a situation where they wind up like still hooking up or she goes back to him and she just has like a lesser version. She just keeps getting lesser versions of what she initially had.
Yeah. He's the Russian doll of boyfriends. You know, he started as a big. You know, the big
I didn't
version.
See the show, but
no.
It's oh, not, right. Oh, yeah. The actual Russian doll.
Yeah.
Okay,
he
yes.
just keeps getting smaller and smaller until she's dating a speck of a boyfriend, you know.
Right. Or she has to break up with him.
Yeah. Right. And again, I think that's the most problematic part of the whole thing is what you just said, where because he's averting saying this isn't the match for me. I like you. I love you. I have love for you, but I don't see this as my long-term relationship. And he's trying to slowly fade into the mist. And again, that thing of like questioning yourself, that sucks, but like it's hard to not look at this and go, yeah, well, maybe if I played it differently or maybe right. if I didn't want kids. Like, no, you want what you want. That's okay.
I get it. Confrontation is hard. That's why I do the thing where I'm going to be there late and I'm going to leave early. Like it's hard to be like, I don't want to go. So yeah. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Because that person sounds like an asshole.
Sure. But it's that, that's who the person really is. It's just, and the other thing about them, like it happened over 6 months and they go to Mexico and they move in together. That's great. I don't have any problem with the speed at which they moved, but the speed at which you moved is also, you know, I think that's the thing with COVID and with quarantine and with these relationships right now is like, yeah, you're getting like life comes at you faster with this stuff. Like you are put face to face with hard decisions way more. There's no way to ignore them during these times.
Yeah. And it's kind of just like the only way that she can end it and take matters into her own hands. And like, again, like we say, always say like own her standards is to just to have the belief that there's someone else out there. Yeah. That like it will work out with. And I think that's why it's so hard. That's why we stay in these relationships that are not working for us with people who aren't giving us what we want and what we deserve and are not treating us well. It's because we don't have the like belief that we'll find someone who's better for us.
I have a feeling that the 26-year-old is going to be able to, that wants to get married and have kids one day, can find someone that's on the same page as that. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that'll happen.
I'm not worried about her, but so I'm saying, I think like she has that fear. It's kind of irrational. I've had it before. You know, I had it. I remember having it at like 24.
Yeah.
Like what if I never meet anyone and I'm just like alone forever? It's like, I'm 24. I'm a 24-year-old. I remember saying my therapist was like, you're a normal 24-year-old person. There's nothing like I very much believe that's in the cards for you.
Yeah.
Because like, there's no reason it wouldn't be. Like, do you know what I mean? It's very hard to believe sometimes to convince yourself when everyone else can see it.
Again, we're the star of our own movie, and that's how it goes. When you think you're the star, then you think the best and worst things will happen to you. When reality is, it's probably a lot like the people that came before you and the people that will come after you. It's just going to be normal.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Send in your red flag deal breakers, your would you rathers, anything you want us to play. We will play it on the show. We love a good game. You ready?
I'm ready.
Red flag deal breaker. First date, guy asks to take a picture together, then post it on Facebook and tags you.
I'm trying to think. It went really well. This is the game. Cause so I have to sometimes remind myself of that. Like we have a
best
great date
ever. You went out with a 50-year-old man on his third divorce because that's the only person on Facebook. And he was like this is
beautiful family.
Yeah. Like this is something that like middle-aged Facebook dad would do.
I think more likely scenario is post an Instagram story and tags you.
So that is the more relatable thing. Like I could see, like my mom would be like, let's take a picture, put it on Facebook. Look, we're out tonight. You know, like that would be a mom move for Facebook. The Instagram story, if she did that, I would be okay with it. But I would be like, my issue with it would be how big a part of social media is your life? Like how much of your life goes on social media? Like, listen, I put everything on social media, and even that to me,
that's your job.
Do. Yeah, and that's my job. Right. That's part of what I do. But there are still parts of my life I'm not putting on social media, even though it seems like I put everything.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd be a little turned off by it, but I don't think it would be like, again, we've had a great date. Otherwise, we're like, maybe we're a little drunk and they put up a story and I'm in it. I would. Honestly, if I was really into the person, might be like kind of flattered by it. if I'm being totally honest.
Boy, there's no one else out there. You wouldn't be like, there's no one else out there. You wouldn't be like worried that he's some like a loser.
Like because he was showing that he was with me on this. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would have to compare it to the rest of his social media.
Sure.
Like experience or like maybe like if he was something funny, then maybe.
That's the only way it could happen. Like generally, like it would have to be hilarious to me,
right?
To be not weird at all.
Yeah. What if they put? What if they're posting just like the date on your first date, like not you, but they're posting like the restaurant. And they're like, oh, don't touch the food. Like I'm gonna take a picture of it, and then they take a picture of the drinks, and they're like just posting the whole date.
That
but you're
almost,
not in it.
That almost is less weird than posting me for some reason. I don't know why that. Doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like that's more common.
Yeah, they're just like, no, I really like this. Look how beautiful this is. Like I could see how that could happen.
So you're more into that than posting you. Although I think that would bother me more. Maybe it's because like it's less men do that.
Sure. Yeah. from my point of view, like if a woman, yeah, it strikes me as female for someone to get a cute cocktail and then be like, oh my God, I have to put this up. Like it's almost art as much as drink at that point.
Right. It's not really about you. But then I would, again, that would tip me off to that's what they do all the time.
With everything.
Which would be like a little annoying to me, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I could be slowed down at a dinner every now and again. It's not the worst thing in the world for me to wait a minute before stuffing my face because they're taking pictures of all the food.
Yeah. Not a deal breaker, though.
No. Let's do another.
All right. Would you rather date someone who's extremely into the holiday spirit or actively hates the holidays?
I think it's easier to be nice than it is to be mean. Like, it's just more fun to be nice. Like,
is it?
Well, I think it's more fun.
Says the guy who roasts charcuterie boards with well-intentioned charcuterie boards.
I think it's fun to have someone that's like wide-eyed into the holiday season. I never thought that before. I kind of like, you know, I was never against the holiday season, but like when I hear someone who loves the holidays and then I hear someone who hates the holidays, the person who loves the holidays, I always go, I'm kind of warmed by them. And the person
like,
who
hates, cute.
Yeah, like good for you. You have some, you know, you haven't lost all your innocence. It's nice that you get into this. Like, who doesn't love going to a bar that's like all Christmas lights and stuff? Those bars are fun. The person that like hates that, like, so you're just miserable for a whole like month of the year. Like the idea that like you hear Christmas music and you're like, ah, it's too early. It's like, why, who the fuck? I always think of that person. I'm like, what's wrong with them? What happened?
Right. I feel like that person's going to be less enjoyable to be around for other things. Like they're going to be like, you're going to have to drag them to more things than they're going to be excited about.
Yeah. Like what stupid things could you ever do with that person? Like, does everything have to be the most serious and like on the nose thing? Like what are you, the neighbors from, you know, Christmas Vacation that wear all black and don't decorate their home? Like you have to have a little bit of that fun. No?
No, that's true. I mean, if they're starting to do like reindeer, like, wheel covers on their car, my answer might change depending on just how into the holiday spirit it is. Like,
sure. Well, who would you rather hang with? Clark Griswold or, you know, Elaine, you know, next door? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I guess
I'd still pick them.
I mean, my roommate in college used to wrap the room in so it felt like we were in a present.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And it was like, and then play Christmas music all the time. And I was like, just like, not my thing, because it isn't my thing. And then as it went on, I was like more and more into it. Eggnog, like, why not?
Why not?
You know?
I'm into it. Should we do one more?
Let's do one more. Would you rather be with someone who refuses to order in food or refuses to cook anything ever?
Huh. I guess the person who refuses. See, this is very hard because, like, I would assume the person who wants to cook everything is like kind of healthy and like I'd have like a better lifestyle. But like ordering in is like so nice when you do it.
I would say Jess and I almost broke up over her not liking Chinese food. And I basically was like, if you can't do Chinese, if you're like one time it was a Sunday night and she was like, let's do, you know, a sandwich. And I was like, you've depressed me. I was like, this is my culture. This is a part. I've been doing this every Sunday night my whole life. There's a comfort in having Chinese food on a Sunday night. Like, if you can't do this, we have to talk.
Did you compromise? You do it now?
And we do it now. I mean, I don't know. We have had nights where we don't as much, but it's we order a little bit more sensibly. I think more of her issue was like, I'm getting like 30 dishes and feeling like crap afterwards.
Right.
So being more sensible about it, it's been good. Like we don't.
So which way, which extreme would you prefer?
I'd prefer the person who refuses to cook over the person who refuses to order in food, because then I can cook and then we also get to order in.
That's fair. Okay. That's a good comp. You can't really like do the other part yourself.
Yeah, I can't. If you refuse to order in food, then when are we getting a night off? Like, when are we having?
Right. I guess you could order in food.
Then I'm eating
alone.
That's
not fun.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what fun is that? You know.
It's I
like
guess I
eggnog
agree with
that. Alone.
Yeah, I think I agree. That would be like depressing.
Right? Like, hey, let's get a pizza. Whoa, champ. That's expensive. We can make a pizza at home. Fuck off.
Right. The one also seems more cheap. Like, the home-cooked meal person seems a little cheaper.
Listen, nothing made me sadder growing up than hearing, like, my parents sometimes, every now and again, like, my parents would get in a fight, and they'd be like, we're not doing, fuck dinner. Have cereal. And I'd be like, oh my God,
what?
I live in a broken home. I need to get out of here. I need CDC to pick me up. I need to be put into foster care. This is horrible. I will never have cereal for dinner. It to me was a mental death trap. Like, it was a mental, like, game over for my sensibility. Like, if the family was
I'm surprised you weren't on a Netflix documentary about, you know, child.
Right? Making us have cereal for dinner. Fucking Lucky Charms. Like some sort of family, you know, this wasn't a family anymore. What? This home isn't a home.
This episode has really come full circle as we right. close the show with talking about food orders. But thank you guys so much for listening. As always, great episode. I think we solved dating yet again.
We always seem to solve dating. We did it again. Everyone listening, keep sharing. That's how it happens. Give the gift of you up this holiday season. This is such a great gift to someone. Maybe they're just looking for ways to get out of their own head. Send it to a friend. Make your Instagram story. Rate, review, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And have a safe, fun holiday season.
Great. Bye. You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Dana Samuel. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPPod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@betches.com.
Betches.